Paolo Santalucia from Associated Press. Can you explain which are concrete, practical cases of use of land that depletes the land, and which are the best practices? But can you tell us practical case in some countries, somewhere practical? Thank you.
Pavis.
Okay, thank you. Well, sustainable land management and best practices, we have many cases of success. For example, conservation agriculture, that is one area which we have been working on. Another area is water productivity, basically looking at irrigation management and how we can improve better use of water. Complementary irrigation is another case for dry farming. We do have many, many cases which we have actually stated in the State of the World Land and Water Resources Report. We should understand that most of these practices are context-specific. Ecosystems are different in different places, but also social systems are different in different places. So we cannot have blueprint sort of type of technologies to be applied everywhere. But one very major thing we should do is to promote diversification, because diversification is the backbone of the resilience, and this is what has been stated in State of the World Land and Water Resources, not only to increase our productivity and the means for production, but also to face the challenges of climate change.
Can you make an example of a negative case where water is not used in the right way?
One is, for example, excessive use.
I repeat, can you make an example of where water, for example, is not used in the right way, and it could be used in a better way, or where people are depleting the land instead of improving?
One example is excessive use of groundwater. Groundwater have been depleted in many places in the world, including in developed countries. We have not regulated often in many countries the use of groundwater, and with multiplication of pumps, which are very, very cheap, very accessible, people start to use sort of groundwater, and many of these groundwater actually provide important food security for many dry region or Mediterranean region. 40% of the irrigated agriculture comes from groundwater resources. And these groundwater not only are depleted, but also polluted in many cases because of excessive use of fertilizer and pesticides. So that is one concrete case that we call it systems at risk.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, but in which regions? I didn't understand where this is happening.
Excuse
if it's
me.
Happening in Rome or is happening in Burkina Faso, I don't know.
Can we go for another round first, that perhaps somebody else, and then we can come back to you. Anybody else who... Yes.
My name is Hans Brand from Tagesanzeiger in Zurich. I'd be interested to hear what roles small farmers have to play in these next in the development, or are we saying that what we need is more and more industrialized agriculture?
Well, we just have to look at the facts. The major source of food is coming from small agriculture. It's factual. Therefore, our objective is how to make sure that small agriculture is made more effective, more productive, more competitive, and generates more income for the people who work in this area. That is what is at issue. He is not going for industrialized agriculture to solve the problem the present population of 7 billion that will reach 9 billion, including taking into consideration the fact that the increase in world population will be coming from countries where we have these small farms and small agriculture. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Harry Palmier from GIFAR. Dr. Parviz, you mentioned diversity. You mentioned also climate change, and today also is the opening in Durban of the UNCCC conference with COP17. There is this ARD day, which is still a side event at the conference. How do you see this issue of land and water being brought to the agenda of UNCCC?
Thanks a lot. First of all, we have to say very, very clear that climate change puts additional pressure on the natural resources. And therefore, climate change will put additional pressure on food security for the poorest people, for the people who have not contributed a lot of greenhouse gas emissions to the current changing climatic conditions. Food security has to be achieved under changing climatic conditions, and therefore we are organizing at the COP17 in Durban, together with partners, an agriculture day. There's a forest day and a land day, where we are highlighting how important it is to find a solution in the fight against climate change, and that farmers can contribute to a solution, provided we have the right framework. Provided we have enough investment in sustainable agriculture, then farmers can produce more, can generate income, and they can mitigate climate change and they can adapt to climate change. Currently, agriculture is not high enough on the agenda of the climate change negotiations. So in future, it is absolutely necessary to bring food security higher on the agenda of the climate change negotiations. But we all know it will be very, very difficult negotiations in Durban.
Okay. Anybody else?
Ci sono due aspetti che volevo toccare. Il primo è, visto che non c'è nel rapporto, però insomma se ne parla ormai da anni ed è una realtà già esistente in diverse aree geografiche, l'assenza di acqua come causa di conflitto. E se questo insomma è uno scenario plausibile e prevedibile anche in nuove aree che insomma non sono quelle attuali, pensiamo al Medio Oriente o alcune zone dell'Africa, e nuove tecnologie per adattamento ai cambiamenti climatici, perché stiamo assistendo ad una situazione paradossale dove da un lato c'è la desertificazione che avanza, dall'altro invece ci sono delle piogge che sono delle vere e proprie bombe d'acqua, acqua che probabilmente, non so, mi chiedo, esistono nuove tecnologie allo studio per riutilizzarla, per conservarla, per portare insomma una sorta di riequilibrio. Grazie.
Posso chiedere le due domande quali erano?
La domanda è se esistono queste nuove tecnologie e se ci sono nuovi scenari di conflitto per l'acqua.
Well, if my memory is correct, I have specialists here to correct me. 60% of fresh water is transbounded, which means that the people who share those waters have to get together and manage properly these waters and have good regional or intergovernmental governance of those resources. To do that, they have to build on knowledge, on studies, on the evolution of these water resources, what can be taken sustainably, under which condition, what are the factors that affect those waters, that would require, therefore, a regional approach. And that's why FAO has been advocating, and FAO has been undertaking the studies, and just our director of land and water resources, Mr. Kofkan, said that we are having an event in relation to the Nile Basin. We've done similar work for Lake Chad Basin, et cetera, and Kansai. But in the end, it's the government themselves who are in charge of taking the necessary measures, adopting the relevant policies, the incentives, et cetera, creating the proper framework for this management to be done properly. If it's not done, naturally there's a potential for conflict. But conflict is not automatic. Conflict is a result of mismanagement of resources or opportunities and lack of proper governance. Thank you very much. Now with technologies, I'm sure there are many technologies. Technology is really not the issue. If good policies are adopted, if good governance prevails, you know, then there's a possibility of allocating the relevant resources to be able to use the most efficient technologies which exist in water, naturally, with all the systems from those that consume 40% of water arriving in the land, which is irrigation by submersion, to the systems of drip irrigation that naturally consume less. But it's not an issue of technologies. The technologies are available both for small farmers and for large farms.
Okay, I take one last question from over there, perhaps.
Sì, sono Jorge Sandoval del Sol de México. Farò la domanda anch'io in italiano. Per ciò che riguarda, purtroppo non sempre per tutti voi, riguarda la nostra regione, America Latina. Si può lanciare un grido d'allarme per ciò che riguarda la scarsità d'acqua e la degradazione, il degrado delle terre in America Latina? Questa è la mia domanda, grazie.
Again, the scarcity of water is local. In some areas, dry lands, for example, in Mexico or in Central America, you definitely have a scarcity of water, but also you have water pollution in very highly intensive areas. And with the climate change, we are going to have more and more problems. Again, also the groundwater is another problem because many, many small farmers are dependent on groundwater. So yes, you do have water scarcity also in Latin America, but it depends on what area in which countries. Most of the dry lands, we do have problems, yes.
Cordula? It's over there.
Is it on? Yeah. Cordula Dörfler of the Frankfurter Rundschau in Germany. There are already conflicts about access to water in the world, and there are some experts who predict that this will be the major reason for future conflicts in the 21st century. Do you see that danger, and what can be done, if so, to prevent those kind of conflicts?
Well, for decades, we have been saying at FAO that the major potential for conflict in this century, in the 21st century, is water. It's not oil, it's not energy, it's water. But again, this is just a potential. If it's properly planned, properly managed, properly studied, and properly governed, there's no reason to have a conflict. But if we do not first have a technical framework that would study beyond borders the issues and problems of those natural resources. If in addition there is not a body that can make policy decisions among concerned countries, then naturally you have all the elements for potential conflict because each one will go his own way and the other will not accept if there are negative consequences on its soil. And that's why we're saying there's a potential for serious conflicts. World population is increasing at the rate that we just indicated. 60% of water is transboundary. Naturally, this has to be managed. But this we have been saying for decades. We now, fortunately, have a study that has gone in depth, a report that will be published regularly and that puts together all the different elements, which we hope will be the basis for an appropriate governance at international level of these issues to avoid any conflict. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. With this, I close this press conference.